Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
It's time to gear up for the holidays, which means for most of us, thinking about what to buy for our family and friends. Online buying certainly has come to the aid of many, and in a moment, we're going to hear from one of the grandest bookstores on the planet, the legendary Powell's Books of Portland, Oregon. Get your paper and pen ready to take some notes on this season's most interesting nature books, and then make a move to invest in the earth as you purchase from the Wildside News bookstore. When we return here on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
For many of us, good books are like air. We need a steady source. I'm a book hound, have been for years. I once owned a children's rare bookstore. And when I move, it's the boxes of books that strain my back. Well, the book industry is flourishing, and the nature book industry is hot. The Wildside News just partnered with one of America's greatest bookstores, the legendary Powell's Books in Portland, Oregon. I lived in Portland and used to head up to Powell's, and I'm telling you, if you haven't been to Powell's, there's a side to reality that you are missing. It's unique and different from the giant book dispensaries in that it carries a full line of new books, augmented with a full spectrum of used and rare. And in the grand Portland tradition of great community, its employees are there because it's their passion, and Powell supports them. Today, we talk with one of Powell's nature book experts, Aaron Gilbreth, who is joining us from Powell's. Aaron, Portland's a city of weather. What's it like today?
City of Portland today is gorgeous. Slightly crisp, little thin flannel gray lid of clouds, mid-30s. Beautiful by Portland standards.
I'm going to have you as my weatherman. That was great. Sounds like a nice day. I can imagine it kind of the clear blue sort of.
No, just a little bit of gray up top.
A little gray, okay. Well, listen, let's talk about nature books. And before we do that, let's find out about you a little bit. You're at Powell's, which is one of the great stores. Let's find out how it is that you ended up at Powell's.
Oh, I'd like to think it was fate, but I was born and raised in Phoenix, Arizona, had been a visitor to Portland and shopped at Powell's over the years as a tourist. When I found out they had an enormous selection of environmental and nature books, I thought, I got to work there. I'm a book nerd, I'm a nature writer, hiker, ecology student, and I fortunately ended up getting hired onto the science team, which includes those environmental subjects, about 4 years ago, and I've been there ever since.
That's really neat. This is your passion, isn't it?
This is my passion, and there's no shortage of passion at the bookstore, that's for sure.
Well, one of the things I can recall is the great employees there. I mean, these people, actually, Powell supports their employees very well. And so these people make this a career. A lot of those people have been there for years and years and really know their business. So let's talk about the business, okay? Your focus, your expertise is in what I like to refer to as the nature industry. Let's start out with what you think are some of the hottest nature books this season.
Well, just like everything else, clothes, cars, there's no shortage of buzz about books. From the world of field guides, nature writing, environmental studies, there's a few hot titles. Environmental titles now, for the last month, a big seller has been Robert F. Kennedy's Crimes Against Nature. It deals with the current Bush administration's attack on 40 years of environmental protection, how they're sort of rolling it back beneath the curtain of the public awareness. There's another book, also pretty timely, it's called From the Fryer to the Fuel Tank. It's about using vegetable oil as an alternative fuel, and it's by Joshua Tickle. We've always got tons in stock now. It runs about $30, but it's well worth it. There's one called Fatal Harvest, which is one of my favorites. It comes in two formats, a huge, about the size of a coffee table, picture format book, and a small reader, which has the same text as the large format book. It pretty much deals with the ecologically destructive nature of our current agricultural system, and it talks about the cost environmentally of the food that we eat. Some of the pictures are striking. The large format sort of focuses on the grand scale of modern agribusiness, as I like to call it, and it pretty much is. Not the small mom-and-pop farm anymore, the chemical-dependent agribusiness. We've got copies of those always in stock, about $45 a pop for a large format trade paper.
Says a lot about the industry in the sense that books like that that deal with these types of issues are becoming really mainstream fare and pricey tabletop books, you know?
Yeah, the large format stuff works well when you're talking about some of these environmental books.
Others that you're thinking of right now?
There's one called End of Oil. I've got a copy on my desk. I haven't gotten a chance to read it yet. Just like the title sounds, it's about the eventual collapse of the petroleum industry and how it's going to force people into choosing alternative fuels. That's by Paul Roberts. It's in our geology section, which, fortunately for the brick-and-mortar people, it's right next to our environmental studies subsection. That's about $26 a pop for hardcover, but we've always are getting used copies out of everything. So,
well, let's talk about that a little bit, too. Powell's.com has partnered with the Wildside News, and one of the things I want to encourage all of our listeners to do is to go to the Wildside News, check out the bookstore, and when you go there, there's a search engine that is associated with Powell's, and you can put in anything you want into that search engine, and if Powell's has it, and by the way, Powell's has almost everything, not only in new but as well used editions, and quite honestly, I've done some comparison shopping between Powell's and one of the other giants out there, and your prices are very often, a buck or two less than them. So, hey, what can you lose? And of course, the other side of that is the fact that in the process of purchasing books through the Wildside News from Powell's, you help invest in all the good things that we're trying to do here. So if people are interested in looking for a book from Powell's, what should they know in terms of that search engine? There's some great ways to find books by author, by title, by topic?
Everything, all the above. You hop on there, you get the basic search engine, you have you can search by title, by author, and then for the more vague search, you can search by keyword. And then on the side of the website, on the left-hand side, there's selection for all the different subsections, including environmental studies, nature. They call it getting into the shelves, getting into the aisles on the website, so you can sort of browse virtually as if you were really there.
Oh, neat. And then people just use their credit card and can buy right straight through you guys.
Exactly. It's a secured site. We can ship anywhere or just about any cave in North America with an address on it. We can ship it to you.
That's great. Well, let's talk, let's move into the realm of field guides. So many of us love field guides. I must have in my collection, I don't know, probably 80 different field guides.
Oh, wow.
You become addicted to them. And there's some of the old classics continue to happen, and there's also some new strategies. Let's talk about that. Why don't you give us kind of an interpretation of both?
Yeah, you mentioned the classics. Audubon's a classic, and he'd be proud to know that his interest in birds turned into the field guide industry, sort of set the standard for field guides so many years ago. There's Peterson Guides. They make everything from bird field guides to rocks and minerals. But there's some new ones on the forefront. Sibley's, David Sibley. It's been out for a little while, but the buzz has never faded, and it's because his field guides are like no other. He makes them for birds. He does paintings rather than using photographs, which I used to be partial to until I saw the Sibley's guide, because he paints the birds with such lifelike accuracy, it's mind-blowing. And then on top of it, he shows the different forms and phases of birds' plumage. For example, a red-tailed hawk can look like so many other raptors when you're looking at it from underneath. And, it's one of the most ubiquitous raptors in the continent, but sometimes you think, I can't tell if that's a red-tailed hawk or not. So Sibley's guide shows a number of different phases of the plumage that helps you identify birds, because they don't always look like the photograph shows when you're in the field.
They're beautiful books. They come in different regional editions?
They do. He made one initially for North America, which was huge. It was a desk reference. Wouldn't fit in your pocket, even if you were the size of a Sasquatch. Now he's got two small ones, one for the east, one for the west. Fit in your pocket. They're both about $19.95 new. And because they're so good, it's unfortunate because most people don't sell them back to us.
Yeah. How can you get rid of a field guide, a good field guide? You know,
exactly.
If you're trying to identify something, the more field guides you have, the better opportunity you have to really figuring out what you're trying to figure out, you know?
Yep.
So, other field guide ideas or concepts?
Yeah, there's one by a guy named, he's a naturalist and wildlife photographer, Stan Tekiela, T-E-K-I-E-L-A. He does a whole range of them. They're all the same format. He takes photographs he's taken himself of trees and birds, all of North America, east and west, and they will fit in your pocket. The photographs are nice and clear and consistently clear. Great information. The information's laid out in a very wise, easily accessed way. And they're even smaller than still these. They'll fit right in the back of your pocket. They're about $16.95 a piece new, and they're great. The ones for the Willamette Valley, which Portland sits in, geographically, sell like hotcakes, and they should. They really deserve all the attention they're getting. They're great.
You know, one thing that you talked about was the fact that there are government publications that have terrific information that serve as field guides and reference materials, and you carry those.
We do. You know, we get most of these in used after people have used them. They're BLM and National Forest Service publications, usually just distributed among government employees, but people like me who like to roam around and know what they're looking at get a hold of them used, and they're indispensable. Some of them have great color maps that show distribution of major plant communities in a region. Say there'll be one for the Willamette National Forest, and it'll show every plant community that occurs within the national forest. And generally at the beginning, it'll have a nice map showing exactly where these different plant communities are distributed. Because as a user of a field guide, most people get caught up looking at individual species. Which plant is that? Which bird is that? It's easy to forget what larger communities these critters that live in. And so it's sort of nice to know on a larger scale where you're hiking in, what you're looking at, and some of these government publications and university publications can really give you a good idea of that.
Now, if a person wanted to track some of those down through your search engine, how might they do that?
The forestry subsection is mainly where they go. Sometimes we get them in botany as well. So take a look in the forestry general subsection of forestry. There's one by Jerry Franklin, a famous Pacific Northwest forester. It's called Natural Vegetation of Oregon and Washington. It's a great one. We get it in use a lot. There's one by David E. Brown called Biotic Communities of the Southwestern United States and Northwestern Mexico. That's my favorite. I'm from Arizona. I'm a bit partial. That thing is the most comprehensive book on biotic communities of the Southwest. It usually runs about $24 new. It's worth it, though.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I tell you what, in the interest of time, we'll just keep moving forward here. Now, how about some of the nature writers? Of course, there's, you know, Terry Tempest Williams and Gary Snyder and Barry Lopez, all fabulous people who have been working their craft for a long time. I'd like to know if there's new things coming out from them, and also who you think might be some hot new nature writers.
Well, there's always some rising stars, as there is in literature, same thing as nature writing in general. There's somebody who's not a real secret to everyone anymore. Her name's Ellen Malloy. She lives in eastern Utah, about the Green River. She's a river runner and naturalist. She's written three books, in fact. But her newest one, The Anthropology of Turquoise, was a Pulitzer Prize finalist.
Wow.
That's saying a lot for a genre of books that's often overlooked by the publication world. So this one's a great book. I recently read it. It's about the theme of the book is the color of turquoise and the cultural aspects of turquoise as it relates to the Southwest and a bit of Europe as well. Really interesting stuff. Trade paper, $14. We always have it in. Another person who I love is Janice Ray. She's written more than one book, but my favorite of hers is called Ecology of a Cracker Childhood. The name sums it all up. She spent her whole life in rural isolation down there in southern Georgia and northern Florida. And this book is all about how her life in this rural area turned into this passionate pursuit of trying to save this really ecologically neglected and abused ecosystem called the Southern Longleaf Pine ecosystem of that area. Beautiful book. She's written more things. I expect both those people to be writing a number of new books in the future and catching much more attention than they have so far.
Now, by the way, I'll be putting all of these on the website specifically so that if you're interested in any of these books, in a couple of days, just go back to the website and they'll be there. You can buy them through the Wildside News, through Powell's, and it's a win-win for everybody. Now, also, everybody's interested in children's books. Come up with any concepts for that?
Unfortunately not. All the people who work with me, I didn't have a chance to ask them.
Okay.
Fortunately, for people who are looking for something about nature or the environment or any sort of life sciences, we've got subsections and tiles for each one of those subjects, and you can access them all through the web. individually.
Now, also, one of the things that makes Powell's so unique is their rare book collection. I'm going to be talking about some rare books that I have in the next section, as a matter of fact, that will be available on the site. Tell us about the rare book collection, what people might be able to find there.
We get things from all over the world. Sometimes people don't even know what they have when they bring it in. Most times they do. You come in there, it's the kind of thing you want to come to Powell's physically and browse, although it's accessible by the website. You have to see the place. The room is designed to look like an old turn-of-the-century study, sort of. It's got that warm, cherry oak sort of stained wood coziness to it. But we've got things in there from Audubon. Audubon's we've had in the past. Audubon's original papers. Got bunches of books from Mark Twain. A gentleman who just wrote the newest biography on Audubon, Richard Rhodes. He's written a number of books in the past, but he just came in. He was reading from his new book this month. And he wanted to see what we had on Audubon in there. So he wanted to see, he had just about everything under the planet and read about everything dealing with Audubon while he was writing the book. But he was curious. So it attracts all sort of professional and layperson attention, too. All the Edward Abbey books, we get first editions of Ed Abbey, classic nature writer.
Now, do you have any idea what an original Edward Abbey, that's so cool, what that might run?
Well, price-wise? We had Jonathan Troy, was his first book, sort of a literary flop, but one of our used book buyers found that a few years back. It was an absolute find. I think it was over $1,000. We get signed editions of The Journey Home, Abbey's Road, of course, Desert Solitaire. We've had those for $300, $500, $100. Depends on the condition, whether they're signed.
Aaron, you know what? That's our sound. We've got to get out of here. We've been talking with Aaron Gilbreth, who is the nature specialist at Powell's Books up in Portland, our new partner. Visit them, visit us. We'll be back in a moment on the Wild Side News.